difficult to think of someone who might be in that category. I have been mistaken for him on a number of occasions with my name Veen as Mr. Bean, but that isn't me in disguise. But he's a bit of an awkward character at times. But when you get onto the second part of that list, it's probably not quite so easy. A lot of people who've lost all feelings of shame, given up their life, given over to vice, do all sorts of indecent things. Well, maybe those of you who've listened to the news, and I expect that's most of you, know that there's been a recent spate of celebrity super injunctions. I haven't got room to put the word super in there as well, so I had to leave it at that. But some of those people do seem to have lost all feeling of shame. I was going to put up one or two pictures of people like well-known footballers and things, but I thought, no, that might upset Norma or someone else, so I thought I'd better not. Exactly. Why not? And of course, there are a few people in politics who've not lived the sort of life that they should. Again, if you've been watching the news, you know what he's been up to. If you haven't, I'm not going to tell you. And we might even think of some people like that, who are totally out of control. They've done things which none of us would even dream of doing. But those people are the sort of people this passage is aiming at. It's talking about the heathen. What's a heathen? Basically, it's someone who doesn't believe and follow God. So it can be anyone, from those famous or infamous people, through possibly to someone in this room. I don't know, I hope not. And the passage tells us that we mustn't continue to live like these heathen, because they've got no part at all in the life of God. So we're told to get rid of our old self. Now, I have spoken on this subject, this theme before, and I had an old jacket, got rid of it at one time, many moons ago. But your case of getting rid of your old self and becoming something different. Any casualty fans here? You might recognise her. Does she really look like that? No, she looks more like this. Well, she would if it'll come up. That's the actress. She's putting on a face. And quite a lot of us might do that. We might put on something that we're not really like. And what about this? Perhaps that actress changed on the outside, but when we're baptized, we're changed. When we come to Jesus, we're changed on the inside. It doesn't matter what age we are, from the youngest here to the oldest. I don't know if anyone can beat that, but from the youngest to the oldest, we can be changed on the inside. In other words, we're required to become completely new. Anyone seen the way a caterpillar turns into a chrysalis and then into a beautiful butterfly? That is a total transformation. You can't recognise the two. And you know what? That's what Jesus wants of us, a total transformation. So, it says, no more lying. Has anyone here told a lie this week? Don't admit to it. But I'm sure you have. I'm sure most people have it in some way or another. And each of you must tell the truth. Hmm. So if you see me with my hand behind my back and my fingers crossed, you know I'm lying. But I'm not lying about what this passage says. That is total truth from God. If you become angry, do not let your anger lead you into sin. And do not stay angry all day. I wonder who's been angry this week. One bold person there has admitted it. Oh, more than one. Great. Okay. Message for you. How ugly do you look when you get angry? That alone is worth not getting angry, isn't it? I hope she's not related to anyone here, by the way. I don't know who she is. If you used to rob, I don't think we've got many people in that category here. But if that was one of your little weaknesses in the past, give it up. Hopefully he's not recognisable as anyone here. And the other thing it warns about in this passage is harmful words. Now, probably this is the one that gets all of us at times, if we're honest. Intentional, sometimes, or sometimes purely by accident, we might say something which will upset someone. There may well be something coming up in this sermon which might upset someone. It's not intentional, but the passage could do that. So, watch your tongue. Or, I think rather neatly put in this one, be sure to taste your words before you spit them out. Because some of us speak first and think afterwards, don't we? Yeah, that's hitting home. I can tell that. So the passage is saying what we've got to do about these things. Now, I don't know if anyone recognises this little text here, which I will endeavour to read. I should have used a bigger font. I have sinned, dear Father. Father, I have sinned. Try and help me, Father. Won't you let me in? Liar. Nobody believes me. Liar. Why don't they leave me alone? Sire, I have stolen many times, raised my voice in anger when I know I never should. Father, please forgive me. You know you'll never leave me. Please, will you direct me in the right way? Liar, liar, liar. Does anyone know who wrote that? Quite tough words. You'd probably think this was a Christian really letting off steam, as it were, at the ways he has failed. It refers to the things we've talked about, lying, and the other bits and pieces there, like stealing and getting angry. This was actually written by the group Queen in one of their songs. I'm not sure if Freddie Mercury actually wrote the words, but it's one of their songs. And it's got quite a potent spiritual message in that. Yet they would not pretend to be a Christian group. And the passage goes on to tell us that the Holy Spirit is a mark of ownership. What's a mark of ownership? Well, for Christians, these are the sort of symbols that we commonly see, don't we? The dove, of course, the Holy Spirit. So one on the right, the sign of the Trinity. The cross, the fish. All symbols of ownership. And are we prepared to actually wear such symbols in public? I must admit, I don't often wear this in public. But it's a mark of ownership. And do not make God's Spirit sad. For the Spirit is God's mark of ownership and your guarantee that the day will come when God will set you free. Guarantee. Most things you probably buy in the shop these days, especially if it costs a lot, you'll get some sort of guarantee. So is this God's sort of guarantee? Subject to registration or subject to something else? 5 years, then anything can happen? No, that's not the sort of guarantee he's offering. His guarantee offers 100% satisfaction. And that's the life he's guaranteeing for us if we choose it. So the passage is saying to us quite clearly, get rid of bitterness, passion and anger. No more shouting or insults. No more hateful feelings of any sort. And I wonder if perhaps a couple of people here may need to take that on board. I don't know. Only you would know that, and God. But the message is quite clear. If it's there, and if we're going to live as Christians, we have got to get rid of it. So what do we put in its place? Well, I'm sure most of us know this already, but it's there on Scripture. If we want to put on a part that's like God, we need to be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving, as God forgives us through Christ. It's a challenge for some of us. It's not always easy. It's not always easy to forgive. It's not always easy to be kind and tender-hearted. We can do many things which will upset others, offend them, hurt them. We all do it. We know we do. So we are challenged in this passage to replace what we have been, anything that's nasty about us, and replace it with something good. Be kind and tender-hearted to one another. And forgive one another. That must be quite hard for a dog and a cat sometimes, because they're usually at it hammer and tongs. But it can equally be that hard within a family, between a mother and child, father, any relationship within a family. We need to take on board the fact that we need to forgive each other and, as it were, cuddle up to each other, totally dependent on each other. And the final phrase of that passage, we've got to do this as God has forgiven us through Christ. At the beginning of this service, we said a confession. We asked God to forgive us. And if we asked honestly, he has. He has forgiven us. So, as we look at living as a Christian, we need to ask ourselves afresh this question. Do you really know him? We all know about Jesus, but we can't really live a life as a Christian until we know him personally. We can't really get rid of all these things that we need to get rid of and take on new qualities unless we ask him to help us. So I'd like us to do that now in a prayer, just to ask him to get rid of what is not right among us and replace it with something good. Father, thank you for the message of your word, showing us how we should be living as Christians. And we know that in some ways all of us fall short of those standards. But Lord, you have forgiven us. When we've confessed, you have forgiven. So help each one of us to fight that battle, to keep away any of those things which hurt others, which offend, and replace them with qualities that are honouring to your people. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please, can we stand? We turn to page 5 and we're going to say what we as Christians believe. Let us declare our faith in God. We believe in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love.